I believe that we're working off of a 37 square block area that was affected. Several blocks we had projectiles or shrapnel that has been found of different sizes.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight. Hope you had a great weekend and it wasn't too wet and wild. I know a lot of people are dealing with some severe flooding. Kate Delaney, ATN. And what will happen this week? A whole bunch of great guests breaking down a few things, including where are we headed when it comes to immigration and the big question in two different areas, really. You just heard Kelly Kistner there talking about the Texas blast, actually. If you only listened to the clip and had no idea who he was until I told you, you might have thought we were still talking about Boston. In West Texas, the place looks like a bomb did go off. It looks like Baghdad. That's what most people are saying. There's just an eeriness to it where we've seen photographs that are very, very similar. It's the fertilizer plant that blew up last week, killing 14 people and injuring 170 others, overshadowed by the Boston manhunt for the two brothers who allegedly are responsible for the marathon bombing. When their photographs were released, suspect one and two, one ended up in a gunfight with two. The two brothers did with the police. One ended up dead, the other in the hospital with a larynx that's busted because he allegedly tried to kill himself. But that doesn't tell you half of the story. We start with the fact that ultimately in this hunt, first we have the release of the photographs of the suspects. Then you have the tip lines being really lots of people calling in and just expanding. And then you have the fact that you have a wild manhunt after the MIT cop was shot, Sean Collier, very sad, ambushed. And you have the two brothers actually carjacking a guy in a Mercedes, forcing him to go to an ATM and withdraw money. And the lockdown of Watertown, Boston, because that's where they were. As I said, one of the suspects, one of the brothers, dead. And another was in serious condition in the hospital. He woke up on Sunday after being pulled in on Friday night and is being cooperative and actually answering questions by responding to the questions in writing. So how about that? But as I said, that doesn't begin to scratch the surface of so much that we're going to talk about this week on America Tonight, including the fact that could this tragedy have been averted if there had been more follow through with the FBI. And the question really surrounds the older 26-year-old brother. I mean, you have, think about it, two bombs, two brothers, crazy dramatic twists, a massive manhunt, and then question marks about how did this happen? What could have happened to these two guys? So you had the images that helped drive home the point that Tamerlan and Zokar Sarnoff were the guys or the suspects. Then you have within hours on Friday, really Friday early morning, so after Thursday night, the two of them getting the guy in the Mercedes, being confronted by one cop who was screaming that they have explosives because they were lobbing explosives at him. And you have the one brother who was going to be cuffed and pushed on the ground. But when that was happening in the shootout, the younger brother jumps into the car after he's also shooting and runs over his brother and actually ends up dragging him down the street. He's dead, Tamerlan, in the end. and the two men with the backpacks walking pretty purposely down Boylston Street on Monday afternoon, weaving through the crowd on the sidelines of the Boston Marathon. We now know the conclusion to that, and we don't know where it heads. It may lead to a sleeper cell. That's the theory, and there are people that are, four people that are actually have been arrested. The explosion, the first one that went off at 2:50 on Monday afternoon in Boston, had flames shooting into the air, glass, nails, ball bearings, BBs into the crowd. This cruel damage attacking the legs of marathoners, people who run, and killing three people, rather, the 8-year-old little boy and the restaurant manager, Christy Campbell, and the Chinese graduate student, Lingzi Liu, who died because of that, and the boy, Martin Richards, on the sidewalk, fatally injured, his mother and sister seriously hurt, and the suspects calmly strolling and turning around the corner when everybody else is running in chaotic circles and either trying to help or trying to get out of that area. So they put themselves right in the line of fire by tipping their hand, I think, with that very, very big tell. So when you fast forward after that, and the people in Boston want answers, 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 and aren't getting them, now the real question is, how is it that the one guy, Tamerlan, how did he escape the radar of the FBI after he was questioned? I mean, that, I think, raises questions about our terrorism efforts if we have Tamerlan Sarnoff in our sights and Russia's saying, look into this guy, look into this guy. We think he has terror ties. And then after he leaves and goes to Russia for 6 months to maybe train with Chechenian rebels, who knows, we end up in a situation where we have to question how the FBI had him on their radar, questioned him, but didn't actually stop him. In fact, here's what Senator Lindsey Graham had to say about immigration and terrorists right there in our midst.
Now is the time to bring all the 11 million out of the shadows and find out who they are. Most of them are here to work, but we may find some terrorists in our midst who've been hiding in the shadows.
All right, so he says bring them out, smoke them out, in other words, because separate the people that can be legal or have a pathway to citizenship from those who cannot. And I think he also agrees on specifically what I'm talking about, the FBI going back and looking at whether they did due diligence on the 26-year-old. They may need to reinvest in resources that are necessary to look at what we're doing as far as intelligence is concerned, because he was flagged. And here's somebody who supposedly was embracing America, although he was not a citizen. His father had come from Russia and brought his sons with him. So you wonder, how did he go from I like America and I want to be a citizen to I'm now going to blow up innocent people? My, oh my. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Talking about what's happened in Boston, I have several friends running the race, and it's just mind-boggling sad. It reminds me so much of, sadly, what happened when I was in New York City, 9/11, and now we've got another person killed. There's two people so far, including an 8-year-old. Unbelievable. There are no words. 141 people injured in Boston in what looks to be a terror attack. What variety, we don't know now at this point. Our pal Robert Siciliano, no better. He is just a great guy, personal security and identity theft expert. We've had him on the show so many times, and he does a great charity thing, Miles for Miracles, for the Boston Marathon, every time he runs it, and people love to donate to that and really love Robert. Robert, we're very happy that you're okay, but what a terrible thing to witness. Where were you? Explain what happened and what you heard while you were running.
I was actually rounding the corner to Boylston Street. I had done about a 4-hour marathon. I was on my way to the finish line. It was in my sights. I saw the finish line. The explosions went off. Boston police pushed everybody off the road. They stopped. They basically put a barrier right up where I was. It all happened so fast. Boston police acted very quickly, and they got everybody off the road, and I essentially hopped the barrier, and I kept running down Boylston Street because between those two bombs and me was my family, and so I needed to get to my family, and one cop grabbed me. He pushed me off to the side, yelled at me, and then I kind of got away from him, and then I ran, and he started screaming at me at another cop. He grabbed me, almost tackled me, and he secured me, and he was about to arrest me, but obviously he had bigger fish to fry. He let me go. I jumped over a barrier. I went into the back alleys. I was running along the back alleys where all the people that were in all the restaurants and the bars that populate Boylston Street, again, that's the road where the marathon finished, they were all spilling out into the alley, and I was running amongst people that were yelling and screaming and crying. There was blood in the, there's trails of blood on the ground where people who had evacuated out of the back were bleeding, and I made it back to the finish line, like backtracking to the finish line, crossed over Boylston Street, made it to my family. I had talked to my dad a little bit earlier and told him to get them out of there because my concern was, I called him. As soon as the bombs went off, I called him because my first concern was that another bomb would go off. I just wanted him to get them the hell out of there. I didn't want him to wait around for me. I just wanted him to get them out of there, my wife, my two kids, my sister-in-law. And so on the way, while I was going down Boylston Street, I was the first one down Boylston, like one of the first only civilians down Boylston Street, because I was basically evading the police.
Right.
And the only people on the road at that point were bodies. Based, I don't know if they were alive or dead. I think they were alive. They were either flat down or sitting up. They were bleeding, and they were being tended to by the only two ambulances that were there, that were there to help the runners, not bomb blast victims. And there were Boston police and the Boston Athletic Association's volunteers helping the people that were down. And I ran by them and eventually got to my family, and
wow.
I'm pissed off.
Wow. Your family, I mean, thank goodness, you clear head, thinking, calling your dad, all of that. But, I mean, your wife must have, because they could have been right there, right where all that happened. And luckily, with that call and with moving around and whatnot, what did they say that was like for them? That would be terrible.
Well, my seven-year-old said, that was a lot of fun until the bombs went off.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
How do you explain that to a seven-year-old?
Yeah, how do you explain that? I mean, in your head, that's never a thought in your head, Robert. Never a thought in your head when you're running this storied marathon, is it, obviously?
You know, I mean, unfortunately, in my mind, I think of all that stuff all the time. You know, I know too much.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my thoughts as I was running down Boylston Street, because, you know, I had just run a four-hour marathon. It was a personal best. It was a good time for me. And I was, the finish line was in my sights, and bang, bang, you know, like, that was not what I was expecting.
Yeah, as a security, you know, as you said, if you have those kinds of thoughts, because you're the security man, and were at all, after all that was done, in other words, you're reunited with your family, all that kind of stuff, were you thinking in your head, geez, what happened here? Were you trying to assess how maybe somebody got in, or you just said, nah, you're just worried about your family?
No, yeah. My wife had carried my four-year-old for probably a good, I don't know, maybe quarter mile, and then my sister-in-law had carried her for so many, for such a distance, and I could see that they were exhausted from carrying her. I mean, she's four, you know, like a four-year-old's what, like 40 pounds, 50
yeah.
pounds?
Yeah.
And so I grabbed her, and because we had to get out of there. I could smell smoke. Like, I'd been running the marathon all day, so I was smelling, like, people were smoking ribs, they were cooking burgers and dogs along the course, and so I was smelling, like, great smells of smoke all day, but the smell of a bomb going off does not smell good. And I smelled that, and my dad was thinking about sticking around to get his car out of the parking garage. And I was like, you are coming with us. We are going home. We are getting out of the city. This place is going to be gridlock in less than 10 minutes. And fortunately, the way I parked my car, it was on the edge of the city, and we got out of there pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Robert, I know it's been a very trying, obviously, day, as I said at the top, and our thoughts are with you and your family, and thank goodness you're safe, and they're safe as well, and thank you for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you, Dale.
All right, so Robert has been on the show many, many times, not expecting to go and run the marathon, as he said. He was excited about his time. He had done this race so often in his life and had really had things working for this charity, where a lot of people were chipping in money for his race and whatever his finish time was and whatnot. So the 117th Boston Marathon, the running of it, will be forever known now as probably what will be go down either a domestic or a foreign terrorist act. It, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning, you've got the race people getting excited. You have all the people lining up. You have the moment of silence, ironically, for the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. And then eventually, you know, 9:32, the women are off. 10 o'clock, the men are off. And they begin the race, and then this is the elite runners. And then just after 10 o'clock and right before 11, you have the remainder of the field, which is about 24,000 people, because you have to qualify for the Boston Marathon. So all the elite runners had been in well ahead of everybody else. But when you had thousands coming down Boylston Street, as he was describing, toward the finish line, and this was about 2:50 in the afternoon, East Coast time, those explosions erupt, and about a block apart, as I mentioned before, within 8 seconds of each other. So then you have this pandemonium and this crush, this chaos of figuring out what's happening and people bleeding on the streets. So you have race volunteers, the few handful of emergency workers trying to do whatever they can and setting up any kind of a makeshift trauma clinic, and that's exactly what they did to try to help the people as soon as they could help them. But the images coming out of there were just unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. Legs severed off, described to me by one friend, is that there were limbs in the street. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people were seeing as they were coming around a corner and could see the smoke and whatnot. And, you know, there was a third blast near the JFK Library in Dorchester, Massachusetts, about 5 miles to the south of Copley Square, but there was no injuries there. And so naturally you had increased security all over the place. And now it's a question of who did this, what can they find out, and what we'll know in the next couple of days. But let's hope that those people that are in the hospital fighting for their lives, let's hope that they can save the lives of those that are critical and also those that are in serious condition. Because you have people at all different stages of where they were and what happened when the bombs that were inside trash cans went off. And you wonder, trash cans, usually at these marathons, they don't have those trash cans. For the most part, they're pushed further back. So there were trash cans there, and this is where the bomb supposedly came from, inside the trash cans. Do you want to throw in your 2 cents? 855-266-8. 855-266-5283.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, phone toll-free 1-800-977-6119. InventHelp, America's leading invention company, has inventors' information you can have free. Get an informative brochure and other material of interest to new inventors from the company whose patent referrals have helped secure more than 7,000 patents. Learn how to get your free information by dialing 1-800-977-6119. That's 1-800-977-6119. Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call. That's 1-800-977-6119. 1-800-977-6119.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday
three-way enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BlockItPocket.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Lipstick, chunky, defuncty, all in one. She came back wearing a smile, looking like someone drugged me that wanted to unplug me. No one here is on trial. It's just a turnaround and we go. Oh, well, and we go.
Every month we chat with our pal Mike Bonacorsi. He wrote the book that's just terrific. I mean, it's like the primer for what you need to retire. But Retirement Readiness, Creating Your Vision, Knowing Your Position, and Preparing Your Future. This is something so many of you have written to me about. Even there was a guy named Ned from Vermont, and he was just 35, but he was asking me questions about this because he was worried about his parents. And we're going to talk about a little bit about Medicare. First of all, Mike, how are you?
Good, good. How about yourself, Kate?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Medicare, there's always lots of questions about that. But the big one is, when should you enroll? I mean, you know, here it is coming toward us like a train, but how and when do you enroll?
Yeah, you know, it is coming fast, Kate. I'm going to be 60 at the end of this year. So you're right. Mm. It's kind of steamrolling towards us a little bit here. And it's getting tough. But when do you enroll for Medicare? Well, the good thing is most people are automatically enrolled in Medicare at age 65. If you're getting benefits from Social Security, if you're 65 years old, you have a disability, basically you're automatically enrolled in Part A and B at age 65. Now, if for some reason you are collecting Social Security, if they listen to me speak and talk about the benefits of delaying Social Security benefits, 65 comes and they aren't collecting, and they still want to get ready, get signed up for Medicare, they can sign up for it. They can actually apply online on socialsecurity.gov right on the website there. But when you become able to sign up for Medicare, there's basically a seven-month window that begins 3 months before the month you turn 65, the month you turn 65, and then the 3 months after that. So that's 7 months. There's a window of time that you can apply for your Medicare benefits. And when you sign up during that that window will actually determine when you receive your benefits, when they start. If you sign up before turning 65, in those 3 months before you turn 65, your coverage will start the first day of your birthday month. If you sign up the month you turn 65, it'll start up 1 month after you sign up. If you sign up 1 month after you turn 65, 2 months, 2 months after you turn 65, 3 months. So depending on when you sign up during that seven-month window will determine when you collect your benefits. Now, if for some reason you miss the sign-up date, it comes and goes, it slips by you, whatever, there's actually an open enrollment between January 1st and March 31st of each year. So you can go in and sign up for Medicare then, and coverage will begin on July 1st.
Okay, so July 1st. All right, so just keep that in mind because I think that's what happens. I think some people panic because they think they missed their window.
Right. It's important, yeah. It's important that you try and catch those windows, but if you do miss it, if something happens and you're away, you do have that open enrollment between January 1st and March 31st to sign up for Medicare A and B, and then your coverage will begin on July 1st. But once again, remember, most people are automatically signed up for it. If they're already collecting Social Security, you're automatically signed up.
All right, so good stuff. Remember that, folks. The other thing is, and this is the big deal, and this is the other thing that is always questioned, and we've had this debate on my show a couple of different times, and frankly, I didn't know everything, but what is covered?
Okay, well, you've got basically two parts to Medicare. You've got, and this is the traditional Medicare, the original Medicare, they call it. They call it Part A and Part B, and that's what most people are familiar with. Part A covers services like lab tests, surgeries, doctor visits, hospital care, skilled nursing facility, nursing home care, hospice, home health services. That's Part A, okay? Part B is a little bit different. Part B basically covers things like services like lab tests, surgeries, doctor's visits, more along the outpatient type procedures rather than the actual hospitalization. So you've got Medicare Part A, Medicare Part B. Medicare Part C, the Healthcare Advantage Plan, those are plans that are sold by private insurance companies that combine the benefits of A and B, but they also have I like to think of it as they also have an addendum to them that provides you with private insurance similar to what you had at work. So they work similar to maybe the HMO or the PPOs you had at work. And then we have Part D, which is the prescription Medicare, which covers certain prescription drugs.
Okay. And of course, the key there is knowing the, I'll call it the addendum, the extra coverage you need, correct?
Exactly. Except the understanding Medicare Part C plans. I mean, that's a whole show in itself. They're issued by private insurance companies. They have different coverage. They have different prices. The extent of their coverage changes from plan to plan. Some of them can be very thorough, including Part D prescription drugs, dental, vision, and some of them can be, you know, relatively basic. So depending on what's available in the state you live in, what companies are available, and what type of coverage you're looking for will depend on the type of Part D plan, if you choose to use it.
All right, so keep that in mind, everybody, because I know people are going to light up the phone lines. And, of course, the other thing is, like you said, we could do a whole show unto itself when we're talking about that kind of thing. But what basically are the costs?
Yeah, well, one of the things is that Medicare Part A, for most of us, we've been contributing to that cost throughout our work career. So Medicare Part A for most people out there is free. You've already paid for Part A through payroll deduction. That's part of those wages that you're as part of that Social Security and your Medicare wages that you pay for, that's deducted. You pay half every pay period, and your employer pays half every pay period. If you didn't pay, contribute to Medicare, you can actually go out and buy Medicare Part A, and it would cost about $440 a month this year. So it's not cheap. So that's your coverage on Medicare Part A. Medicare Part B is different. Everybody pays that premium. And right now the average cost is about $109 a month for Medicare Part B. Now, a couple of years ago, it changed. It used to be pretty much a flat rate for everybody. Now it's on a sliding scale. So depending on how much income you have, will determine how much you pay for Medicare Part B. $85,000for an individual, or $170,000 or less, it's $104.90. So that's what most people are paying. However, if your income increases, it can go as high as $272.
Wow. So you really have to crunch those numbers to know. It's like you say in your book, know your position. So you have to, I think it's good to get your arms around this stuff, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I know. You know, one of the things is that a lot of people think that because they have Medicare,
covered.
That basically their health costs are covered. But they don't realize that, you know, Medicare Part A has a lot of co-pays that are involved with it, particularly if you're going to go into a hospital. There's deductibles that are due. The first 60 days, you have an $1,184 deductible. Days 61 through 90, a $296 co-insurance per day. And days 91 and beyond, $592 co-insurance. That's a fair amount of money out of pocket if you have an extended stay and, you know, you don't have something else to pick, another insurance plan to pick up the tab. Medicare Part B has an annual deductible of $147, and quite a few of the services you could be paying, you know, up to about 20% of a copay along with most of the services you get. So this is what I said in the past, that it can be expected that over their retirement lifetime, a couple could easily spend a couple $100,000 towards medical costs. If you're paying $1,200 a year for Medicare Part B premium, you and your spouse, that's $2,400 right there, plus all these co-pays and these co-insurances and these deductibles, you could get up to $700 or $800 a month without much of a stretch of your imagination.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking, what about the people who are self-employed?
The self-employed people, you know, like myself, we contribute to Medicare because we pay both sides of the equation.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So rather than paying half and my employer paying half, I pay the full thing.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So now you gave us a lot to think about. No matter where you are, whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s,
yeah,
you might want to think about it. Put that little pot of money aside, like we keep talking about. Do something with it. Yeah.
Medical costs are going to be the toughest thing I think that people are going to have to deal with, because unfortunately, those people who will have the most medical costs will probably be the ones that can, you know, that really can't extend their work life.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Grim when you think about it from that perspective, but it's good to just get ahead of it and don't make it grim for you if you can. Retirement Readiness, Creating Your Vision, Knowing Your Position, and Preparing Your Future. Great book. Somebody's going to get a copy of that tonight. Mike, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Kate. Have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Sergeant Dave Scott, Army Search and Rescue veteran, wants you to hear this urgent message. All emergencies have casualties, but in America, most casualties from storms like Katrina and Sandy only happen because good people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Don't let that happen to you. Visit yourbugoutplan.com on the web Watch a free video presentation of the skills you need to be long gone before any disaster can touch you. You owe it to yourself and to your family to watch this. Head to yourbugoutplan.com on the web right now, yourbugoutplan.com. Bills in front of Congress right now could take away your right to keep and bear arms. If Obama has his way, all guns will be either banned, restricted, or confiscated, possibly by executive order. The best way to keep your guns is to hide them. What Obama can't find, Obama can't take away. You can protect your guns from any threat. Download our special report, How to Hide Your Guns, at GoHideYourGuns.com. Learn how to hide your guns while keeping them readily available. Get the report now before they make us take it down. On the web at GoHideYourGuns.com.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
No attorneys to plead my case. No lawyers to send me into outer space. At my fingers, I'll be true. The diamonds and gold, but that ain't gonna help me now. I'm in trouble. In trouble now. I'm in trouble now. I deserve my life again. I'm in trouble.
Hanging out with all of you across America on a very different week from what started the week anyway to what last week was like. And I meet a lot of people that were talking about what happened on Friday in Boston and also in West Texas. That horrible accident gets overshadowed because of terrorism-wise what went on. And I understand that for sure. But the people in West Texas are really hurting. I mean, they need prayers, they need help, they need everything. I have been to West Texas probably 15 times or so, and it is a cute town with some really friendly people, famous for this check stop where anyone driving down 35 has heard about it. They will pull in and go and grab a kolache or something else. It's just, again, awful what happened, especially wiping out the firefighters, the volunteer firefighters and the EMT people and just so many others that are also with serious injuries and trying to deal with and grapple with the fact that their life was just poof, blown away in an instant in a much different way than the people in Boston, who some of them coming to Boston, but a lot of Bostonians who were part of the marathon. So, without further ado, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. I hear this one from Shaky Legs, who says, "Hello, Kate, long time no talk, Boston Marathon bombings." Come on. We know it was a jihadist act. Why didn't we say that to begin with? I guess everybody wants to tiptoe around everything. I don't know if you heard this or not. Now that there is a suspect in custody, and it's a question of him getting well in the hospital and then charged and all that, there is the ACLU demanding Miranda rights for the 19-year-old Zokar. What do you think about that? I'll tell you what. They're not the only ones who are talking about Miranda rights and what, you know, what happened there and whether or not calling that into to question, you know, what's going to happen there with these charges. And I have to say in the fact that he was talked out of the boat and he gave himself up, right? And he was bleeding and was taken to the hospital, okay, that they're saying, what about these Miranda rights? I'm going to say that the police who had the lockdown in that area, then lifted it, then got the call from the homeowner, then took him ultimately to the hospital, I'm going to say that there is absolutely a way to skirt around that, where that's not going to call into question. Although there are people calling that into question, I'm going to say that if they're going to grill him, of course, then they're going to have to do a Miranda deal, because if you're interrogating him without reading those rights, then they wouldn't. How could they hold him as an enemy combatant? I understand how that could be a little bit shaky, but it depends on a few things. There is a basis for not Mirandizing somebody when they're taken into custody in this manhunt situation because of being in the cruiser and because he couldn't communicate and he was unconscious and all of that sort of stuff. Once he's awake, which he is supposedly now, then that is what will happen. They could say that it's a public safety exception, is what I was told. So a public safety exception doesn't, you know, would that pertain in this case or not? And would the statements the suspect makes, would they be ruled, you know, would they be ruled inadmissible? I think because of what happened with his brother, I think they'll Mirandize him, then he'll start talking. I bet he's shook up, because there's questions as to, was he trying to kill himself? That's what it looks like from the one injury he had. And I believe that he'll just spill his guts to what he knows. But then it becomes a question of, you know, what did he know? All right, here's another one from Alan listening to us in Illinois. "Hey, Katie, Kate, normally I'd be squealing to you about all of the floods we had and what we had to deal with here in Lincoln Land. It was awful, let me tell you. However, because of what happened in Texas and because of what happened in Boston, that's my two deals. The one question I have is, how can we as a nation be worried about immigration reform and then still in the same breath talk about securing our borders when we do not have secure borders? And it seems as though we have had nothing but holes in the fence for far too long. And isn't that the problem? I mean, can't we just call it what it is? We are at war with Islamic terrorism that has nothing to do with chasing after law-abiding American Muslims. We're talking about radical Islamists that are probably dotted all over the place in Muslim communities. You, in fact, have talked about that before. Some of the known sleeper cells in some of the areas in this country. there are plenty of them. When, oh, when are we going to wake up? I would say it's about being more vigilant. I mean, have our efforts become more weak when it comes to Al-Qaeda and other groups that could be radicalized and the possibility of striking us in the United States? Is it, you know, it's people living in the U.S.? I mean, how, this is not a shock to us. Didn't we know that with Faisal Shahzad and the Times Square potential bombing? Only they goofed it up with, he goofed it up with the triggering. We knew that from the nut in Dallas. Same thing, expired student visa as well. And there have been a bunch of other cases. So, you know, there have been how many plots against New York, Boston, Philly, other places in the United States since 9/11. I mean, this is not a secret. This isn't a secret. You have these two brothers that have been now described by so many friends and other acquaintances as secular Muslims. But if you go and look at all the stuff that's viral out there that's being pumped out, especially some YouTube postings, you see that he is obviously upset with the United States, and he is upset with the United States policies. So we've got to be tough and realize what it is we're dealing with. I mean, come on. Take another one quickly here from Sam I Am. Hello, Ms. Delaney in America Tonight. Dig the show. Don't like what happened in Boston. Think it's terrible and think that what we need to do is stop, put the brakes on comprehensive immigration reform and think more about the security of our borders and these lousy student visas. If we have to shut people out for a while temporarily till we get our act together and catch up with the paperwork, then let's do it, for goodness sake. Can't we do that? Do you think other countries would do it? There's no way it'll happen, but the suggestion of catching up and then knowing what the flow is, I think, is a good one, but it's not going to happen. No way, no how. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's not happening. There's no way that's happening. Here's another quick one. This one from Jake in Austin. High five on the shutdown in Boston, because ultimately it was really a citizen who was smart enough to call the cops after being stupid to lift the tarp off the boat and peek underneath it. Would you have done that? And, you know, that's a question that we're asking ourselves, actually, here on the show. But Zokar Sardoff is in for a big surprise as to what will happen to him ultimately in our justice system, but we want answers. Who else is involved? I think it's more of a sleeper cell. I do too. I think there's more people involved than just the two brothers.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.